local music.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day. Bill of Oconomowoc.
Say, I got to thank you, Matt. You've been educating people about what went on in our state, and thank God what happened to Gableman. You know, he could be disbarred. I hope he is. I think he needs to almost be put in jail if it was up to me, if I was the judge. But at least he's coming to justice. And I'm going to make a prediction. I said this before. Pretty soon, guys like Voss and the other people up here in the state of Wisconsin and Trump, they're going to be toxic. They're going to be very toxic because now Voss is running. He's running away from the whole issue. He's going to pretend he didn't know anything about it when he orchestrated it. When Trump gives like to Tim Michaels, that's the kiss of death. That's the kiss. If you're a politician, do you really want Trump to endorse you? How stupid can these people be? I mean, Trump, you know, every day you tune on the news and all they're going to talk about is the corruption in the Trump crime family. And all these guys are part of the crime family. And some of them got the brains to start running. Some of them are still going to go down with the ship. And the band's playing, and the tube is all already filled with water. You know what I mean? They're that low in the water right now. So thanks for what you do. You're a great educator, Matt. And if I saw you today, drinks would be on me. But have one on me anyhow. But have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yeah, and, you know, speaking of the guys, the rest is during this, anybody hear about Stepien's wife having a baby? You know, this business about how she was in labor, and this guy is one of the sneaky, you know, he looks in and the deposition goes, I'm honest, and, you know, I'm the normal team. He right now is getting money. He's getting over $1 million to represent a combination of Trump's 2024 reelection and Harriet Hageman out in Wyoming opposing Liz Cheney and about a dozen other candidates, spreading the same big lie. The same big lie. And if you parse his testimony, remember Stepien, the campaign manager, his wife was in labor, he claimed, and he couldn't come, but here's his deposition. He never really flat out said that he said anything to anybody. It was more, I was thinking this, it's all subjective. This guy is a weasel. He is a weasel. He is a weasel. Do not believe any of them, any of them. And as far as Gableman, I mean, this is a no-brainer. You know, you may like a lawyer, dislike a lawyer, but you don't expect him to say something off color in a microphone in courtroom about the judge and opposing female counsel. You just don't. I mean, that's sort of a no-brainer. You just don't. You should get your attorney's fees back by a malpractice claim. And insurers see this kind of stuff, they pay. And if they don't pay, he has to pay. And you add Voss and the Republican caucus for doing it. The fact of the matter is that taxpayer money never should have been used for a crooked investigation that on something that didn't exist. And then at the end, this guy's saying, well, he's investigating women, poll workers who dyed their hair, had nose rings, had tattoos, and lived with their boyfriends. That's none of his business. I mean, that's really none of his business. And it's really none of my tax money business. I'll take that. I don't want my tax money put to that kind of stuff. Very good. Mark from the SAC, you're next up. My friend, what's on your mind? A Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, you mentioned the Supreme Court not having an army. It brings to mind that, let's remember that Donald Trump's favorite president was Andrew Jackson, who, when the Indian Removal Act was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of the time, at the time he said, well, let the Supreme Court enforce it. And, of course, the Supreme Court couldn't enforce it because they didn't have any, you know, method of doing it, in spite of the fact that they had declared the Indian Removal Act unconstitutional because, things can get ignored, and Supreme Court decisions can be ignored. I mean, that they typically are not. I mean, but that's, but again, Gableman is just, it should not be on our dime if any fines, you know, the fines that are being paid. It should be on Gableman's dime. Gableman made the choice to make those comments. he wasn't representing us, the people, when he was doing that. He was representing he himself as being a jackass, and that he should, you know, pay the fines himself. And the judge, he should just, you know, if Gableman spouts off like that again, the judge should just say, you're in contempt, you're going to jail, and just stick him in a jail cell. I mean, that's what they would do to any of us. If any of us popped off, you know, as Bumble did, when he made a comment about the law, you know, saying, well, a husband should know exactly what his wife is doing at all times, and Bumble made the comment, and I think it was Oliver Twist, saying, well, then, sir, the law is an ass. Well, Gableman essentially did that, and the judges just cannot tolerate him continually trying to make an ass of the law, because he's just in complete contempt of not just the law, he's in contempt of all of us doing this BS.
Right, and the real point, and you're getting at it, is why should I pay for this? I mean, you know, I mean, why should I pay for this? Why should you pay for it? Why should anybody pay for it? The taxpayers should not be paying for this kind of stuff. Thanks very much. Next up is Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for going West your mind, Robert of West Allis.
Good morning, Matt. I just want to make two comments. One, I think it's great when you try to get people into activism, you know, to contact the person. I wish we would close the loop, though. Give them the phone number, give them the email. Sometimes I'm take that extra step. They don't go through the effort to do it. But if you guys gave them the email or the phone number to call, I think we'd get a lot of people calling Robert from the boss regarding this matter. The other thing I wanted to mention is gas prices. You know, we're seeing continually over $5. But when you look at the price of a barrel of oil, it's in the $115, $120 a barrel range. The last time it was $115 a barrel, the price was $3.83 at the pump. It wasn't $5. So there's definitely some profiteering going on here by the oil companies. I'm hoping Biden or someone in Congress comes up with a solution. I don't know if it's threatening taking leases away, or obviously we're not going to nationalize oil, but something has to be done. The fact that they're not running the refineries at full capacity, that we're not using the oil leases that are available, and there's this pure profiteering going on. So thank you.
Yeah, those are very good points. Let me just hit the gas thing. Joe Biden has sent letters to the oil companies, exactly what you're saying, accusing them of profiteering and saying he's going to take action if they don't do something, because they're making extraordinary profits. The sad thing is, believe it or not, even with the sanctions, Russia is making more money than it did before the sanctions because of the high prices. And one reason that Biden's going to Saudi Arabia is to let them know they better start pumping more oil and get in on the world market. But you're right, the domestic ones, there were instances in our history where Harry Truman, right after the Second World War, there was a lot of labor unrest, and he threatened to take over the railroads. John Kennedy, and I think it was in 62, right in the middle of his presidency, the steel companies were gouging, and he said publicly, you know, they better stop gouging or he'll take action, and they knuckled under. Now, in this case, there are things that the oil companies can do. One of them being more drilling, you're absolutely right, and making use of their present leases. Number two, pumping more oil and refining more. And that would bring it down somewhat. Saudi Arabia is sitting back, and somehow they've gotten us under Democrats and Republicans to provide their own defense. We have a troop station in Saudi Arabia. When the Houthis of Yemen bombed Saudi Arabia, they bombed their oil terminals. We have provided Saudi Arabia the weapons to respond and stop them from doing it. And there have been some quiet accommodations to our foreign policy. They haven't joined the Abraham Accords with Israel, but they've gotten a lot more conciliatory and permit Israeli airplanes, passenger planes, to fly over their airspace. And this new guy, the Mohammed Chainsaw Charlie, the guy that killed Jamal Khashoggi, is bad news. He's also going to be the king when his father dies. He's running things over there. And our objective, you're never going to change their culture. You're never going to change their culture, which is based on essentially jihad. You can't change that, but they can work towards our interests, and that's what Biden's trying to do. So he's doing a very, very good job on that. I mean, yes, there are challenges from the war in Ukraine. Yes, there are challenges from disruptions in the supply chain and COVID and everything else. But he has stood tall. Joe Biden has. He's unified NATO, unified NATO. And I want to say something briefly about that at this point, just very briefly. This war in Ukraine, you have the Germans slowballing it. They say they're going to send arms. They don't. They sit on it. France, Macron is going, oh, they're going to have to negotiate. Zelensky is with the Russians. How do you negotiate with Hitler? You say you can have Crimea and the Donbass. Give us back the people that you've kidnapped, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians into Russia and are torturing and sending to gulags. They will then demand financial concessions and they'll sit there. And a year from now, they'll bomb Kyiv again. And a year from now, they'll grab somebody else and torture them. Biden just gave them $1 billion more in arms. That's great, but it's insufficient. On long-range missiles, we've only given them four systems, and they aren't even operational yet. We have got to give them many more long-range missile systems with 300-mile ranges, not 50-mile. We've got to get our shorter-ship missiles to them. He says he's going to do it. It's got to be done immediately. In the Donbass, the Russian Savage is closing in Donetsk, and they will pin people down. Then they kidnap them, torture them. Civilians torture them. You can't go back and undo the mistakes that we did early. Biden was trying to put together the NATO coalition. France and Germany were very difficult. And so what he did was initially he sent just smaller weapons, so we weren't going to fight Russia. Russia has a military in disarray. It'd be very easy for us to simply drive them back. It would not trigger nuclear war. There were two very, very useful suggestions that were made over the weekend. One is that we provide escorts to cargo ships flying UN flags to go through the Dardanelles into the Black Sea and escort Ukrainian ships out or Ukrainian grain. They're not going to attack our Navy. If we do, we'd eliminate their fleet there. And number two, they have $300 billion on deposit with us. Take it. Turn it over to Ukraine and Poland and Romania for the refugees and just say you're going to pay for your defense. Some people in the government are resisting that. There's no reason to resist it. I've given legal reasons why it can be done before. And number three, give them whatever Zelensky asks for, give him double and give him to him right away. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.